Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Wow. G'day,
do you have much to say on it? Or yeah, do we have an intro?
Let's put another shrimp on the barbie.
Perfect. We're never going to be able to tour there now.
We're barred
from Australia.
Two bad wagons. Recording this, so we can only assume everyone had a delicious Christmas and a glorious New Year.
Yeah, and it's only begun. It's only begun, really.
It's only begun.
We're catching our breaths. Right. Anyway, doesn't matter. We are doing that, and we are back next week with regularly scheduled programming. But we've got a special episode for you today. I was in Australia in November and had a great time. I'd never been. Got to experience the country like never before. And I loved it. I wasn't sure if I would, so far away. But was very glad I went. But this is an episode we've been talking about doing forever about moving to Australia. But obviously neither of us have moved. I still haven't moved. I just went for a holiday. So I called in the big guns. I called in my good friend Cormac O'Connor, who is living over there, who I went to visit in Oz.
I'm pretty sure do we have Cormac on for something before?
No, but I'm not going to lie, he has been dying to come on.
I really thought we had, like, years ago, had him on for something.
I think we were even due virtually. To have him on something to do with Marvel, and then it didn't happen. And
okay.
Thank God, because neither of us would have been interested in that, really, would we?
No.
No. He sat down to talk about how he's got on in Australia, so...
Yeah, nothing like kicking off the new year by contemplating immigration. So
perfect, girls. Brilliant.
Enjoy.
Here's our chat. Enjoy.
Cormac, how are you?
Very good, now yourself?
Great to... Well, I've seen you for the last 3 weeks, so we're recording this literally the night before I fly away. But it's great to have you on Bandwagons.
It's great.
I promised you a slot, I'd say, about 45 times, so I'm glad it only took me travelling 22 hours to make it happen.
Yeah, 14,000 kilometres.
Yeah. Oh, don't say the climbers. That gives me climate anxiety, honestly. You're very welcome. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm very good now. All the better for having you in my company the last few weeks.
Oh, did you have a great time?
It was very good. Yeah, very fun.
Yeah.
Great to have you around.
You sad that I'm leaving now?
Seamlessly.
Seamlessly.
Yes. Seamlessly.
Perfect. Oh. No, we had a good crack, I think.
You think?
Yeah, I know we did. I'm too tired now, I'm delirious. I can't believe I have to get up. I'd fucking, quarter to three for a flight. Anyway, that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about the country that we're in, the continent that we're currently on, Australia, and moving to Australia, because that is a massive bandwagon, but it's one that myself and Breed obviously haven't done, so we need to bring in someone
who has
done it. So, and I've obviously been here, I've been on a holiday, whatever, we're going to share our own takes, and she's going to share what she thinks of Australia. I've been now, so I can gloat about that.
You have an opinion.
I have an opinion, yeah. But I suppose, why did you want to emigrate, and then why Australia? Because obviously there are other places you could go to, but you chose Australia.
Yeah, I suppose I just kind of wanted to experience something different. I was kind of like tired of Ireland, just in terms of like what it could offer me. Could have still stayed there a couple of years and like really thoroughly enjoyed myself, but it was just kind of the same events that I was always going to, in terms of like different parts of the country. I just kind of wanted to go and experience something new, a different culture, a different lifestyle, and kind of be by the beach and the sea. And just gain new experience, because I do think you kind of learn a lot more from traveling than you kind of do just staying in the one place for too long. So yeah, I just kind of took the chance to go away with my friends. I kind of suggested them back in February 2022 that I'd be moving to Sydney, and kind of started kind of trying to get them to come with me. So it was either that was kind of the main option really, because some of them had used their Canadian visas, so it just seemed like a good place to be, and we would have got back-to-back summers, which we did, so we kind of skipped the season, which was very, very good.
But what was your, did you know anyone that had moved out here before you got here, and whether you did or you didn't, like, what was your impression of Australia? Why was it, again, I know this, there's the obvious ones, because it's like the nice weather and the sea or whatever, but like, what else did you know, or did you think you knew, that you were like, this is the place I want to move to, at least temporarily?
I suppose there's like a number of factors. You always kind of hear about their like how their lifestyle is very like good. Like they're kind of like a laid back culture and they have a good work life balance.
Yeah.
So that was one of the contributing factors. And then secondly, my group of friends, some of them had used their visas to go to Canada during college. So And with the areas that they work in, they wouldn't be able to work in Canada as freely. So, like, if I wanted to move with my friends, the majority of them couldn't go to Canada.
Okay.
So I just remember being, we were on holidays with them, and then just being like, right, I'm moving to Sydney in, like, May 2022. But then I eventually got pushed out to, like, October, November. But I just remember, like, saying it and be like, I'm doing this. And then I kind of, like, actually started, like, asking my friends, would they come with me? So, and then I just picked Sydney out of between Melbourne and Perth. It's just because I wanted the beach life, simple as. Like, I know, like, people would say, like, oh, Melbourne has, like, the better nightlife, this, that, the other, which is probably true.
It's very funny, though, and I've said this to literally everyone that I've met and I've spoken to, and I've said it to you a couple of times, how territorial, like, people who've emigrated, like, particularly Irish people, when you say... Even when I said I was coming here on Instagram and I said I was basing myself out of Sydney, people were like, don't stay in Sydney. You'll get bored of Sydney, whatever, blah, blah. Maybe if I'd spent the 3 weeks there, I would have felt like that, but, like, I didn't. And then other people who've, like, oh, don't go to Melbourne, don't go to wherever, don't stay in Brisbane. It's funny, like, people are... And I know it's probably the same in Ireland, but, like, I found particularly, I suppose, with Sydney and Melbourne, it was very, like, you're either one or the other, and people get very defensive over...
Yeah.
Each of them.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't, like, I think, like, I've been to Melbourne, I think it's great. The nightlife is very good, very nice city, very cool. And, like, they equally get, like, just as good weather as Sydney people do. I just think we get the longer, like, the better weather for longer.
Because Melbourne is more southern anyway,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, so I just think we just get it for that tiny bit longer. And, like, for me, I just wanted to have the beach life, live 5 minutes from the beach. Like, I just kind of went here for, like, the lifestyle. Like, I was, like, possibly get like a city experience later on if I move to another country, so I just think I could like tick that box later down the line. I simply just wanted the beach life.
Yeah,
that was like my one goal.
Now I should say, as one Melbourne resident that I met while I was travelling was very adamant to tell me that there are beaches in Melbourne, they're just not as
close. Yeah,
they're not as close
or nice.
I think her words were that you have to like seek them out, and I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think so. And I just kind of like, me and my friends, like, we'd go down to the beach like three, four times a week, or go for an evening swim, hang out down there.
That is the one thing that I've loved about here as well, because I just feel like, again, unless you live by the beach in Ireland, which I, or in Dublin, sorry, I'll be specific about Dublin, because it, technically when I was in Cork, I did live close to the beach. In Dublin, if you do not live close to the beach, it is a fucking rigmarole to get there, especially if you don't drive. And like, I drive, so it's fine. But... it's like, it's, and again, obviously there are parts of Australia where it's like, there's, you could be so inland that you don't get the ocean, and obviously they'd be like, well, obviously it's very hard for me to access the beach, but I suppose I just loved that you'd come home from work and you'd be like, we go for a swim, and I was like, yeah, and then you'd have a gang as well, and it wouldn't be a big mass thing, you go down for half an hour, you leave, like, it's, yeah,
it's just so, like, it's good fun, like, you see your friends like 3-4 times a week, while if you're at home in Ireland, you wouldn't see them as frequently, because just you wouldn't be going meeting up after work, I suppose, because you'd have, like, obviously you call around, which I just wouldn't have met them.
There's
all.
More options, yeah. Maybe, yeah. So how many of you travelled out here?
I say all in all there's like around 17 of us now.
Okay.
We all kind of came between like between November last year and like February, March this year. So it's been great, like just to be able to do it with my friends. Great experience to do with them all. We're having great fun, and like we all live within like a 5-minute commute of each other, whether that's walking or by the buses, so it's just great.
Well, that kind of answers my next question. I was going to say, what's the experience been like so far? But I suppose more overall, like I know the lifestyle and stuff, but I think the one thing that I hear about is, well, actually, there's two things I've heard about, right? So obviously the first thing is the visa and the jobs. You're out here just over a year now. The other thing I'm hearing about is I met up with my friend Nicole. I'm not sure if she's listening. If she is, hello. And she was saying, and to be honest, I'd heard about this on the news, that like the housing crisis is, like it is certainly a thing here. I feel like people, for some people, I think maybe naively think you leave Ireland and it's like, I'm sure everywhere else is grand. And it's kind of not, but I suppose where the housing issue differs here is that you're probably still paying the same amount of rent as you would be at home, but what you're getting is much better for the price. But let's come back to that. Sorry, let me park that because getting too tangential. The jobs and the visa situation, what has that been like for you? You don't have to fucking get into the absolute nitty-gritty.
Oh, it's been quite challenging. Like when I first came out here, I got a job within a month with a startup company that was like fine. Then I went away to my regional.
Can you actually, let's go even simpler, right? So someone is thinking about going and they don't really know what the crack is. So you get here.
Okay, so
you're not on a holiday visa. You obviously want to stay, but to stay.
So, no, you are on a holiday visa. Everyone comes over here on a holiday visa.
Oh, okay.
So if you're coming out here.
But not like the one I did.
No, you're just. We're on a working holiday visa.
Working holiday visa, okay.
So with the working holiday visa, you can only stay with an employer up to 6 months.
Okay.
And then you must move on, or else the employer must choose to sponsor you.
Okay.
So my advice for someone coming out here is that unless you like working construction, a teacher, or like working the hospital sector, it can be quite challenging to find work just because many companies don't want to take on working holiday visas because of the work limitation, and they don't want to sponsor you either. Obviously, it might be against company policy, or if it's like smaller companies, from my experience, they've just got burnt in the past by backpackers, because like obviously we just want to kind of travel around Australia. So it's kind of, you just have to wait that bit longer and just keep applying. It can be frustrating. Like there's some sectors then like that are fine, but like it is overall a lot tougher. And it's just like when they ask the dreaded question, what visa are you on, that's when like the facial expression kind of changes in the interview. But again, like as I said, if you're in construction, teaching, nursing, this is the country for you for a couple of years. But for everyone else, it can be just challenging, and you just have to like reach out to recruiters, schedule calls with them, and hope that they can kind of find you some contract work or through different companies. From my experience, it's like the big multinationals weren't going to touch me because it wasn't their policy, because I wasn't like obviously senior enough for them. And it's kind of like companies that were like, or startups, or less than like 10 years old, that I was getting more job opportunities with purely because like they haven't had backpackers before, so they haven't really been burnt by us. It kind of just varies, really.
So your specific experience then, you came out, you initially had a job with a startup.
Yeah, and initially I wasn't going to even entertain farm work. I just didn't want to do it.
You really didn't want to.
No.
Explain the regional work as well. So it's something that... You just explain it, actually. I don't know why I'm asking you and then attempting to explain myself, because I don't understand.
So if you would like to stay a second year in Australia, you have to go away and do your 88 days. So it works out to be like 13 weeks.
Okay.
And you must complete that before the end of your first year to be able to stay a second year.
Okay.
That second year still gives you the same working rights as before. It just allows you to stay in the country that bit longer. But most people will work in like either construction, fruit picking, farming work. There is hospitality as well, but it all depends on the postcode. So you have to go into regional Australia to be able to do your work. So like, for example, you can't do it in Sydney, you can't do it in Melbourne,
yeah,
can't do it in Brisbane. You have to go, like, for example, I went to the Outback. People go up to the top, like Cairns, work in hospitality there, pick bananas, But I just never had any interest in doing that. I was like, oh, like I've gone to college, I've gone to work, I'd like to continue with my career. But then once I kind of landed...
No, I will say, was that a little bit naive of you?
I would think that most people come out to...
I get the thing of like... The pride and like wanting, but like that, I know very few people who've like not been able or gotten out of the region unless like a partner or something has gotten sponsored. Do you know what I mean?
Very naive in the sense that like... But I just feel like when you come out here, you're like, you have so many like ideas or like you kind of like set out how you're going to go about achieve it. And then when you kind of get into it, you're just like, wow, like your expectations just completely change.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny seeing people coming out on the, coming off the boat now and like talking to them. You're just like, oh God, you're so naive. But like in a good way, it's just like.
But that was you also once upon completely. A time.
Like I've learned now, like I'm not like not forward planning anymore. I'm just like looking after today and then tomorrow. We look after ourselves.
That's it. But anyway, so you ended up doing your regional in the Outback, but you actually got hospitality work.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that.
So I went to...
Do you know where it was called?
Yeah, Bar Calden.
Okay.
So basically it was like this small regional town with like 1,500 people lived there.
Okay.
There was two bars. I was in the popular bar where people do their party on the weekends. There were like two grocery stores, a cinema... That used to get one film every week, but it takes like 6 to 8 weeks to get there from the release date. So, for example, when I went out there in April, I had just seen Air when it was released, and it came to the Bar Calden, or well, Barky as they know it, cinema like in June.
Okay.
yeah.
Oh my God, how long are those people waiting for Barbie? Has Barbie even come out yet for them?
I say it has just about it.
Just about it, yeah, literally.
Sometimes it might have two films on there because like, they cater for the children.
Oh my God, what a treat. Yeah. Did you go to any of the kids' movies, be honest?
No, I only got to go to one movie.
That's such a strange. I fully would have gone to some of the kids' movies if I was... Well, sorry, okay, I'm talking as if the audience know. You're out there, you're doing your 88 days. Yeah. What was the experience like? Mentally, physically, everything? Because I suppose, well, physically in one sense, it's like... It's hospitality, so like not being funny. It's not necessarily like this isn't to say that it's not hard work, sorry, but like in terms of actual manual labour in comparison to like the mines and shit like that, like it's not.
Oh no.
It's not comparable that way.
It was the dream for me in that sense because I didn't have to do construction or farm work. So from the offset, I was like, this is perfect. Went with my friend Rachel when we arrived. There was two other Irish girls there, so it was like that was fine. But it was just so different than anything I kind of experienced before, people-wise. So the owner was like, we lived upstairs above the bar. It was basically like this one big wooden house.
Okay.
Worked with our boss was called Nana. Everyone called her Nana. She was like very old-fashioned. Like the way to succeed in the job was like to be efficient was to be inefficient. So like at the start we were making lists and like taking a lot of bottles out from the store and. And I was like, no, just take one at a time. And she just always wanted like service. If someone dropped their schooner, serve them straight away, like as if your life depended on it. So it just kind of
schooner a pint.
No, less than a pint.
Less than a pint.
Yeah, and they just do it because like it stays colder and fresher. Okay. So it was just an experience. Like cowboys do exist, and the odd cowgirl. Like they're like in terms of people, I now understand like. They're like 20 years, 30 years behind in the way they think about the world. Like a lot of like...
And again, not to generalise, obviously we're not going to speak for all of these people, but I'm sure some of the people you met, maybe not particularly progressive about things, potentially.
No, so backwards. Like some of the stuff like they would say to the girls when they'd be working behind the bar, it was just like out of line.
Yeah, that's the one thing I've noticed as well from especially people who kind of worked in hospitality. The different, and you it's something you've been good at acknowledging, like the different experience men and women have had doing it.
Oh yeah, like the, like you'd, like at the beginning, it's like a culture shock when you hear, like, you're shocked that they're saying it to you. And then by the time...
Like, obviously do not give examples, but like, I presume, like, again, just to spell out for people, like, I'm assuming very like sexist.
Yeah, sexist, like, yeah, they're just like sexist, things. Racist, homophobic, yeah. Like... You're just, how can you speak to a woman like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, just bizarre. And then you kind of, not that you become conditioned to it, but like you're just like, you're kind of just like, right, I like, you just kind of acknowledge it to an extent and like walk away. But when the new people are taking over from us, like, and they were kind of shocked by it. You kind of, not that you get normalized to it, but you're just like, right, you just ignore
it. You're just disassociating.
Yeah. And like, then you just see how they react, how we were at the beginning. Mm. But no, like, it was just a different experience. Like, all I did, work, play football manager and go to the gym. On Thursday, me and Rachel would go off to Roses and things, this nice front spot, which was like a 20-minute walk. And it was the highlight of my week. I could not wait to get that chicken burger and coke.
Did you find it hard, like, or was it like grand up until a point?
It was like being in a lockdown. Okay. Like lockdown level 5 or red, because I didn't leave, only left the town once.
Yeah. When,
like, some nurses took me to nearby town, so like an hour and a half away, called Longreach. But I didn't find it hard. It was just time was going fast, but like nothing was happening.
Mm.
Like when I got back to Sydney, it was like, I think it's the closest feeling I'll ever get to being like released from prison. Like,
yeah.
I went from seeing the bare few just youths everywhere, turned the vehicle and that,
I still don't know what that is, but I appreciate you.
It's like a truck, really. Okay. And then I went from seeing just one bar, one grocery store, seeing McDonald's, Skyride buildings. My social life is back again. I was just I had plans, I had a future. We were just surreal. And then when Rachel came back a few days later, we were both grinning from ear to ear for the first few days. It was a good, I'm glad I experienced it. I got to see that side of Australia. They love their their very country and what they like.
Mm.
And the different festivals that they had on in the village for the limited time we were there was good to experience. It was just an eye opener to how a lot of the world, some of the world is still not as progressive as we like to think it is.
Yeah. Okay, you do your regional work, you come back to Sydney. What happens then? Is it all plain sailing?
No, I kind of go into short term retirement.
Yeah, okay.
I was retired for a few months. Went to the Women's World Cup in Sydney and Brisbane to cheer on Ireland, and then did a small bit of travelling.
Yeah.
Did Fraser Island, Noosa and Brisbane like you did last week. And then I was just job searching then. Getting interviews, had one or two contract offers then to get taken away. And again, it was the visa that was the issue. They were hoping to take me on as contractors. And then eventually I get a job. I get 3 jobs in the space for a week in October. So yeah, I've been working out last month, so life is great again. Everyone's back from the regional, so...
You're thrilled to bits.
What
about in terms of money? Again, obviously you don't have to get into specifics about your own situation, but I got here, and because I'm a fucking dummy idiot and I don't understand currency conversions, I was like, wow, it's actually not that expensive over here. But that's not the case. I think, to be honest, the only thing that's really cheaper over here, and to be honest, leagues better, is coffee, if you're going for a coffee or something. How have you found, I suppose, the money in terms of earning and also spending? Do you find it an expensive place to live?
Yes, I do. But
perfect. Will we end the interview now?
No, I do. I think if you lived in Dublin previously or London, you won't be as shocked, because I guess it's Sydney's the most expensive city out of the three of them. So in that regard, you wouldn't be but coming from Cork, the rent was all double, groceries and the buying drinks on a night out is ridiculous.
Mm.
It's okay buying spirits, but schooners or pints, so you could be spending $16-18. I don't know, that's €8-10 a drink.
Yeah.
So you quickly go through it, and it is a bit more expensive to dine out as well. That's what my Melbourne friend said, actually, who's from Melbourne. You can get better food you can get great food at more reasonable prices in Melbourne, while you have to pay top dollar for it in Sydney.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is I suppose it is that bit more expensive, but you kind of do, people tend to earn a bit better money out here as well than what they would do at home. So it's fine.
What about rent then and the gaffs? Did you find it hard to get a place over here?
No.
It's a lovely place. I've stayed here for the last two and a bit weeks.
We're very fortunate. So the way it works here is the closer you are to the beach, I think the older the apartments are. So Our one is like very spacious, like our hall's like so long.
Yeah. And your gaff is like less than a 10 minute walk to Coogee Beach.
Yeah.
Not to give out your address, but.
Yeah, but we got lucky. At the time when we came over, there was like a subletting company called Easy Rent. So we were in a hostel for the first 2 or 3 weeks, and then Mad Monkey by the beach with Coogee. And then we had a sublet for a month, so we were kind of fine. And then within the second or third week, we got a place where we couldn't move into to the end of December. So it was like suited us perfectly, but like we were fine with moving in. But like there are horror stories of people like waiting like 7-8 weeks, and it is a lot tougher if you do come out on your own. But like when you're applying for these, like when you're applying for the houses, like you have to give like a lot of like your bank accounts, statements, your landlord references, even employer references. You know, what else do we have to
Again, do? I think that's gone kind of standard for home, but like I'm like, what? Like what the they're only short of asking for like a fucking autobiography, like, you know what I mean? I just
And then you give like a comprehensive like bio about yourself as well.
Like long walks on the beach.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Give me a go, please.
Yeah, but like it is challenging because like everyone has the same good ideas that coming over in like from September onwards get like back to back summers, and like it's just like it's peak season, everyone wants to live by the beach, so it is tough. And like you go to the viewings and there could be like 50 to 100 people.
That
there.
Was the thing that I heard, like that the viewings are as bad but potentially worse than Ireland, because I know I spoke to someone and they, I don't know if it was their experience or they were sharing experience with someone else, but the whoever it was went to the viewing, and it's like in Ireland, like you queue up and it's in some way, like don't get me wrong, it's soul destroying, and like sometimes the queues can be big, but like a lot of the time you might actually get in to look at a house. This person was like, there could be the 50 or 100 people turn up to the house, and it's like every man for themselves, like just led into the house, like climbing all over each other, climbing all over each other even.
What they do as well is like they photoshop the photos in the apartment, so like you have to furnish all the apartments here.
I found that nuts as well. And I was, when I was walking around kind of the first days I got here with the jet lag, and like I went somewhere for breakfast and there was, you know, cabinets and stuff out on the side of the road, and that's not to say that that never happens in Ireland, but it's definitely nowhere near as common a thing as it is here.
Yeah.
So basically, if, well, again, not generalised, nearly everywhere comes unfurnished, so then you have to furnish the gaff then yourself, which comes at another expense for whatever, on top of whatever you're paying in rent. It's kind of mad.
Yeah, well, like, yeah, it is. And but like when you go on to view the apartments on like Line, they'll have them photoshopped, like, so they'll have like a bed is here, like a dinner table, and like you think like you're getting an unbelievable place, and you walk into it like, whoa, this is nothing like the photos. So you kind of, and some of the like the editing is so good that you kind of think it's real, like.
Oh my God.
I should have showed you some photos before, but yeah, it's just kind of mad. And like the furnishing, yeah, that, like we were furnishing like the week before Christmas. It's lucky you can get like Uber car share here, so you can rent vans, and you can kind of get a lot of things for free and quite reasonable.
Well,
like, it's still an expense though.
Yeah.
Because you have to put down your bond, which is like your, say, like a month's deposit that goes to like a third party agency. So then when you move out, they'll inspect it and then they'll decide how much you really get back. And then you have to put down like 2 weeks. We have to put down 2 weeks' rent. But then, like, the annoying thing is we have to pay our rent weekly.
When you were trying to explain how much you're paying and you were to talk about it in weeks, I was like, just tell me what it is a month. I don't know why. Don't basically need to do fucking maths here. Like,
It is kind of challenging. And then because you want to go away, need to go away into your region, you need to get your, like, house filled. And that can be challenging come, like, the winter time because everyone, again, leaves Sydney to go do their regional work.
So, yeah.
Like, we got lucky. We had people for our houses, for our rooms, but like it is a challenge.
It's not always the case,
What
are the best things about Australia?
The weather, they just really like kind of seize the day.
Love an old carpe diem, yeah.
They just make the most out of the day, they're up at 5 or 6 o'clock and they're running, walking their dogs. Like, I went to the gym this morning at 6. It was, like, packed. It was peak time after work.
Yeah, all the cafes open at, 6 and then close at 2 or 3.
Yeah. And then, getting up for sunrise. It's the fact that you can, meet your friends at, 6 o'clock in the morning and, have a coffee and just be, socialising. You never do that in Ireland. And, and then when you're, commuting to work, you just see people having a coffee at 6 o'clock and they're just chatting and they just make the most out of the day, really.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they have a great work life balance. I say it's back the same as Ireland. They just seize the day, they just make the most out of it.
Mm.
And it gets darker earlier, so I suppose it's easier to go to bed as well.
Yeah.
Just been living by the beach, going for the swims. We have a lot of nice cliff walks that we kind of do. So it's kind of we're not living in the city. We're nearby the city, but we're kind of out far enough.
It's 40 minutes on a bus to the CBD.
Yeah, 25 minutes, half an hour, yeah, depending on traffic, yeah, sorry.
It's definitely 40 minutes. Yeah. I will say the buses are good over here, even though it's privatised.
Yeah.
You said they're not, but I haven't had actually any issues with buses so far.
Sometimes they just don't turn up because apparently they...
No, they drive furiously.
Oh, they're driving.
I've never seen cars drive as fast. I've never seen drivers less reluctant to pull over. Fuck me.
They just drive over the roundabouts. You're not supposed to go around them. Sometimes when they're stopping, then when they stop, you're just... It's crazy. And then they just... Drivers, everyone just beep at you if you're driving, if you haven't gone after 0.1 of a second after traffic lights. Aussies aren't as laid back as I think we think they are.
Do you think that's a misconception people have?
Yeah.
Well, again, we're kind of generalising there, but anyway, it's fine, it doesn't matter, but...
Yeah, or
everyone's surf's up, dude. That was an American accent, but whatever, you get what I mean?
Yeah. I think the one thing I noticed is the big difference between the, Irish people have a willingness to help, even a randomer. We'd be asked, remember when we went to that, onto the island, asking that, that boat driver where we should go for tourist recommendations? And he's kind of just didn't.
Oh, yeah, he did not care about us. Yeah, whatsoever.
An Irish person will give you their Irish, honest opinion.
But there was an Irish person there and we kind of fobbed him off, didn't we? Do you remember your man that lived there?
Yeah,
we fobbed him off. No, we were chatting away to him, but I think he should have been the person to ask. We just didn't think.
Because remember he told us about there was no toilets on the island and then
But he did, then he told us about the secret not toilet.
Also, the public amenities in Australia are just very, very good. There's a lot of public barbecues where people can have a barbecue in the evenings or during the day. In terms of public toilets, showers on the beach, change rooms, it's just...
The public toilets are so good ever. And that's not to say, some of them are obviously disgusting because it's just toilets or whatever. Yeah. But to be honest, disgusting is way too strong a word. Some of them are just they're bank because it's public toilets, whatever, everyone's using them. But they are well kept, they're well serviced, they work, they're open.
Yeah.
That's what struck me as well. It was just that it was every...
But even in...
Because it's the one criticism that I hear often of Dublin, and it's not necessarily that I agree strongly or disagree strongly, but that basically that Dublin doesn't cater for the people that live there anymore. It's catering for tourists and stuff like that. Whereas I found here, you could definitely see the examples of where they were trying to best serve the public and make it a really livable, enjoyable city to live in, walk around, do the things you want to do.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the examples, I think.
Yeah, for example, Coogee, by the beach you have the change rooms and the toilets. Then up the steps there's another set of toilets. And then on the grass hills to the left, which is 500 metres, not even, there's another set. They're just plentiful.
Yeah.
And then there's the showers then that they have available to the public. It just, it's kind of very well set up, and they do also have, like, obviously they do have the weather and stuff, and people just don't, the vandalizers take it, like, don't wreck it. So, like, it's just kind of ideas for that. It's just very well set up, and even, like, the national parks, you can't really complain.
What are the worst things about Australia, in your opinion? I think it's interesting to speak to you, because I think if I spoke to, like, generally, I don't think you're that homesick. Before we recorded this, you said the only time you felt homesick was when All Together Now was on, which is, hindsight, an absolutely hilarious statement.
I was dreading that from day one, once I said that. I was dreading it.
Oh, my God. But I think if I was to speak to someone else, they'd be like, the distance, the time difference. That's not to say that it doesn't affect you. I don't want to speak for you, but
no, sometimes it's all right, tough, like, ringing home or, like, being in the mood to, like, talk from home, because, like, you're after, like, your day's work, and then you're aware that, like, you haven't spoken to your parents, like, in a week, so you're just like, oh. Sometimes you just can't be, like, so you just don't want to chat to your social battery's kind of fried. So it kind of is challenging. I think it's more challenging at the moment being, like, 12 hours behind. Because, like, ringing, I think I rang my mom the other day at 6:30 in the evening, and then as I was ringing, I was like, oh, I wonder what time is it in Ireland. It's like 7:30 in the morning. So, like, it's just kind of a bit more challenging. I haven't really suffered from homesickness at all, apart that one weekend.
We're from All Together Now, when you couldn't say Lord.
Lord, yeah.
But anyway, beyond that, what else? What else don't you like?
I suppose that's just, like, as I touched on there, like, they don't have a willingness to help. Sorry, I felt like I had more, but I just do, like, love the lifestyle. I suppose it's all okay.
What's your plan then in terms of, do you want to divulge on this podcast in terms of your plan for staying? Are you leaving? Are you going? Or what are you doing?
At the moment, I do think I'll be finished after 2 years.
Was that always the plan?
No, I was always kind of open to, like, staying longer. But it was funny when I was, like, leaving, I was like, oh, I'm so open to staying out there longer or settling. And then as I got closer, I was like, nah, you're not. And then when I was leaving, I was like, no, I was open to the idea. But now, like, I've kind of, like, as I said, like, there's, like, 12, 17 of us came out here together. And I haven't made too many new friends. So, like, my lifestyle and everything I built is around my friends. Like, if they all go home in the morning, like, it's a completely different landscape for me in Sydney. But I think I do kind of want to be back in Europe, or just closer to home. And, like, there's just a lot of places I just haven't seen in Europe and the rest of the world. And Australia is just so far away from all that side of things. I'm just not thinking too much about it, and just let every day come.
You're just seizing the day.
Well, like, I have had so many plans the last couple of months. Like, for example, I was going to go solo backpacking for 3 months at the end of this, but now that plan's out the window. So it really changes from what day of the week you speak to me.
Okay, well, I won't ask you to look into a crystal ball that far into the future, but where are you thinking in terms of, is there anywhere you haven't been yet in Australia there, like, I really want to go to?
I want to go to Uluru Rocks, Ayers Rock.
Yeah, I do kind of wish I'd done that this trip.
And I want to go to Whitsundays up north. And then I want to do some of Western Australia, like, see Perth. I have family over there. So I have, I say, I'd like to go traveling for, like, 4 weeks. Different spots in Australia that I haven't been to. So I'll probably do, hopefully in the new year, we'll do a bit of the East Coast, finish off the East Coast, because I've done kind of top and the bottom half of it. I just need to do the middle. So it'll be Western Australia, really, and Ayers Rock, especially Ayers Rock. I think that'll be a very cool experience.
Yeah.
And the Outback's is kind of cool with that, because, like, Australia's kind of like a 4 or 5 countries in one. Western Australia is completely different to, like, the East Coast, and then, like, even, like, Tasmania is different again, and the Northern Territory. So yeah, there's a lot to see.
For sure. If anyone's listening to this and they're thinking about moving, what advice would you have for them?
Save a good bit of money to give yourself that, like, safety net, because it could take you 1, 2, 3 months to get work. I'd also say, like, come open-minded, like, don't kind of restrict yourself. Like, I previously, like, didn't want to do regional work, but, like, I kind of quickly learned that, like, if I got sponsored, then you're kind of, like, restricted to where... Like, that, like, say if I got sponsored in Sydney, you can only, like, kind of stay in Sydney then for work?
And sorry to ask, if you're sponsored then, you have to stay for 2 years. You definitely have to stay for 2 years then, don't you?
Yeah, you kind of do, yeah. That's the kind of agreement you have with your employer. But then it's like there's like a path to PR. Like some people ask you, but like...
permanent residency.
Yeah. But if you... if you take a sponsor, then you're kind of like, you're stuck to that one location. Like, I know I'm going to probably stay my time at the moment in Sydney, but like, at least by doing a regional, you give yourself that flexibility of moving somewhere else if you want to. And it is a good experience. Like it is, you get the experience that you wouldn't have done otherwise. So, yes, I would just say, consider doing your regional work if you haven't done. Save off money, just be patient when it comes to trying to get work, and just like reach out to recruiters and get involved. Like, I was like, I know I haven't really got involved, but like there's a lot of like, especially for like girls, there's like different like book clubs, like Sunrise Socials, there's like there's running clubs now. I'm going to try and get involved in one of them. But like that, you can kind of live the lifestyle you want over here. You can either like party away, you can like make it as wholesome as you want. There's just like a lot to do, so you can kind of have whatever life you kind of want.
I love that. Well, I'm going to miss you anyway. Where have the 3 weeks gone?
So quick, hasn't it?
So quick. It's just, I feel like I have to come back now. Because like, I kept saying, I was like, I came over because I'll never probably come here in the future. And now I'm like, I have to come back and like finish what I started.
Finish what you started, yeah. We'll see if that happens.
But we'll see. You'll be long gone. Anyway, I'll see you back in Ireland. Next Christmas. Actually, I don't know when this is coming out, so maybe I shouldn't say that, but yeah, I'll see you at some point.
No, I'll be back for the summer. I'll be back for a wedding in the summer. So you'll see me in July.
We'll definitely see, yeah.
Yeah, I might.
I don't know, I could be very busy in July. You could be very busy in July when you get back.
Oh, I'll be booked and busy, but I'll have you booked in.
Oh, you're very good. Well, speaking of booked and busy, thank you for making yourself not busy, but and booking yourself in to talk to Bandwagons today. Much appreciated. Where can people find you if people want to find you?
If
your face looks like you don't want to reveal that information, so you know, if you want to remain mysterious and interesting, that's also fine.
You'll tag me enough on this. I don't think anyone wants to follow me.
People know where to find you.
But yeah, give me a follow if you want, I suppose.
Cormac, thanks so much. You're welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Whenever you move to whatever fucking country you move to next.
Thanks. See you all soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So that was Cormac. And that was me.
I need to watch my back.
Why? Are you afraid?
It was good.
To rat him out, but we did have to do a couple of takes on the answers. Sorry, Cormac, so I think your job is safe.
No, but I like it. He was a perfectionist. He knew what he wanted to say, and he wasn't happy until he said it. And that's...
What do you think? Did he sell you the Australian dream?
See, I've made my bed. I can't.
Okay, but like, let's exist in a hypothetical universe where...
Hypothetically, if I had no child.
Nora still exists, but like, we'll say Australia is much closer and you've... in trillions of euro.
If I had no responsibilities, in an alternate universe, if I hadn't had kids yet, possibly I could be swayed. I think Mark would do it in a heartbeat. I don't think I just can't imagine doing parenting over there with no support, like family or friends or whatever. I think that would be the hardest thing to move anywhere, even to move like half an hour away and not have our moms or like siblings or whatever to like jump in and give us a hand when we need it.
It's so far. Like I actually couldn't even really contemplate it when I had gone. Like because I had flown, I can't remember if I said this on another episode, but I flew Dublin to Dubai, Dubai to Sydney, and like altogether it was 22 hours.
Christ.
And I know you can get a direct flight, I think, to somewhere in Australia from London, and it's like 19 hours. And I'm like, I couldn't think of anything worse than being. And I wasn't that far off it. Like my second flight was like kind of 12, 13 hours. It's so far.
Yeah. But it is so sunny. So warm.
And I do think you'd love it because relaxed. It's all beaches. It's all really nice hikes, really nice walks. You still get nice weather, but you don't have to go like up north is obviously way, way, way like crazy, crazy hotter. Hot even. Terrible English. Like Queensland and all that. But like...
Yeah.
Sydney and Melbourne, I found. Now, again, I went in November. It's much, much hotter now. Even I was talking to Cormac recently, and he said he has two fans on the go now because he's just like, and then I think the other day their electricity went and he woke up like in the middle of the night just because the fans had obviously shut off, and it was like fucking, he said it was horrific.
But
I think he'd really like it.
Yeah.
Mark enjoyed it when he was there, didn't he? Where was he again?
He was in Melbourne.
Okay.
He had friends there and he went over.
I wish I'd done more time in Melbourne.
Yeah, he went over to see his friends and like kind of saw the cities and chose Melbourne. But I was like, why did you not want to stay there long term? Or like, why did you not think about living there like for the rest of your life? And he said it was because he met me, but I don't know. Brownie points. He would 100% go back in a heartbeat, especially this time of year when it's so dark and like not sunny or warm.
I went when the weather was just starting to get shit here, and like to be in Australia when the weather was... Now, I'm going to be honest, the first couple of days we got there, the weather was like very average and I was like, well, what the fuck is this about? And then it got much nicer. But like to be somewhere sunny and warm... There's a lot to be said for it. I'm very on board with the winter sun now, but I just don't think I'll go as far next time.
Just a lot. What? Tell me this. A lot of people are nervous about the spiders and stuff over there. Did you see anything like that? Anything that made you jump?
Didn't see anything. Saw some dingoes on Kigari Island, otherwise known as Fraser Island, which is something that a lot of people who are travelling do. It's like a big sand island and people go camping there, and it's very...
Mass just a lot of like, there sometimes.
Yes, it's very, you can do, now, yeah, you don't have to camp there as well. Like, there's hotels and shit like that, but it's obviously much cheaper to camp. But like you could do the 4x4 experience like I did, whereas like you're in a tour and you're all driving along the sand and you're seeing these like incredible, like they're not beaches, but they're like lakes. And it was just like nothing I've ever seen before. It was class. So saw dingoes there, didn't see any spiders. Was in the presence of a snake. I think I talked about this before when we were camping. It was 100%.
His name is Cormac.
On the foreground, it was Cormac. but a lot of the Irish that I had spoken to over there had seen at least one or the other. And I was like,
yeah.
It is just mad that they're just living there. But apparently they're like very, Aussies are like very chill about it. When I was staying in Coogee, which I talked about before. And when I got there, now these weren't wild animals, but some fella had kept a load of snakes and they ended up escaping from his gaff, and it was like making the news in Coogee. I was like, I could absolutely do without this right now, girls. Just a python around Coogee, like for fuck's sake. Did it ever appeal to you? No.
No. Now, like I'd love to go and travel it, I think, at some stage in the future when I don't have a toddler hanging off me and it's more feasible. I think we'd love to go and do like maybe New Zealand and Australia. My brother did it for his honeymoon recently. This year did New Zealand, Australia, Fiji in like 2 or 3 weeks. And I think something like that would be nice. I'd like to do that.
It would be deadly as a honeymoon, but like it would probably, if you were to do it like real nice, it would probably be an absolute fortune. Because even the amount of money I spent there, and like I wasn't exactly like, well, I didn't pay for accommodation, first of all, bar Melbourne, and like when I was traveling around Rainbow Beach and Nuksa and stuff like that. But like when I was in Sydney, I was staying with Cormac. I just spent so much money on food, which like I was like, that was the plan. I'm not like, but it is also just, I don't know, I think, and I'm pretty sure me and Cormac essentially covered this, but like, I think, I don't want to say there's a grass is greener mentality. And that's not to say that like Australia isn't, I loved it and I totally get why people go there. But the housing crisis, from speaking to people when I was there, because I met up with other friends there, the housing crisis is as bad in Australia in terms of demand, but what you can get for your money is better, right?
Yeah.
But in terms of like, it's the exact same situation as, you know, the crazy daft listings here where it's like you're queuing around the corner and, you know, and it's like hard fighting to get a place.
Yeah, I've seen that on Instagram with a few people.
Groceries are like really expensive. Okay. Eating out generally, well, again, I've heard that like if you want to eat out, like, and I did kind of find this, if you want to eat out in Sydney to like get really, really nice food, you do kind of have to like seek it out, whereas like I think you can get more bang for your buck in Melbourne.
Okay.
The only thing that I found cheaper was coffee, like to get a coffee. Beyond that, it was all kind of similar enough-ish to Ireland, to be completely honest.
Yeah. But you make a lot more, isn't that that's the payoff? Like your wages are better.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I think this is going to be useful for a lot of people who are probably contemplating a new life heading into this new year.
Yeah, especially with, I don't know if you saw that study recently about us being like the loneliest fucking people in the world, Irish people.
Yeah.
Like across all, like we're in a real epidemic. It's not just like old people, because I think that's a thing we see when, or I think that's a thing we're just like, oh yeah, like old, obviously old people are lonely because they're old. I don't say that flippantly, but like hopefully you get what I mean. But
yeah.
It's across the board. Everyone is like really, really struggling. Yeah,
it's a tough time of year for people everywhere, and I just think we all need to just talk about it.
Yeah,
just go easy.
But it's cause like it's all these factors in Ireland where it's like everything's so expensive. You know, yeah. You can't go. You're like
hard to come by.
We can't get anywhere to rent. It's too expensive to do anything socially. Like communities were fucked. Like it's yeah, it's well, what a cheery fucking note to start the year on. Sorry, guys. Anyway. I did like Australia. If you would like to share tips with anyone who's moving soon, it's at Bandwagons Podcast on social media, and we will share a few on our stories or anything else, any funny experiences.
If you have any negative downsides to move, if you've moved your whole life to Australia and now you have like realistic disadvantages, we want to hear those too.
Is full of spiders.
Yeah, give full us the full of spiders picture.
Yeah.
Make me feel better about it and tell me why I shouldn't go or shouldn't want to go.
Send Bree a honeymoon itinerary. She would really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I wish I'd done New Zealand, but anyway, maybe next time.
Maybe next time. There's always time. Okay.
We're back next week. On Patreon. Patreon.com/bandwagons. So bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.